You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. It's a Monday edition. DJ Bucky Rhett back with you. And guys, I want to know, be honest, we all had things to do Saturday night. We were all busy traveling, doing different things. Show of hands, who stayed up to watch the Colorado State game to the middle of the night?
Oh, my God. Like
all of us? Yeah, all of us. all of us.
Like all in. I not only about the game. So here's what I'm saying. Like, because I know you guys probably know Jeremy Bloom has already started his fund so they can do the extension for Prime.
He put in a hundo, right? He put $100,000 in.
Every week is now an infomercial for Colorado. I'm waiting for my daughter to be like, "Hey, Dad, I think I'm gonna apply to Colorado." Like,
Because
it's kinda like, it's kind of like the end thing. Like, I'm finding myself like, "Hey, you know, like, it's nice and all this."
Well,
good God, the celebrities.
Let me tell you guys
everywhere.
Oh my gosh, it was. I mean, look, you know, Wheezy's leading the team out. Like, come on, like, it's nobody in college football is doing it's ridiculous.
The Rock was there.
Here's the other thing. All right, I come at this from a good husband point of view. Okay, because I had just taken Kana and the boys to Indiana with me to watch the IU Louisville game. They came.
Lost.
We were on the way back. Kana is, thank you.
Congratulations. Great effort in the second half.
Effort in the second half. Going to be better. Back to 500 this week.
There you go.
Kana is a Colorado State alum. So she went to Colorado State. And so we're on the plane back. So we had connected in Detroit and we're flying back. And so we catch the entire game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm looking at this from a good husband point of view. I'm like, this broadcast is, I mean, like, do they even know that Colorado State's playing?
Yeah, it was all Colorado.
Yeah, we don't need, come on, they're just a foil. We don't need them. We don't want them to win.
I mean, like, I understand it. I understand the allure. I understand, like, everything that's going on is very exciting. But come on, there's kids over there, too, now.
No, this was, hey, Buck, we're, I know we had similar childhoods. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of, like, a Saturday morning.
And it was this match between Jimmy Superfly Snuka and Bill Smith.
WWE. Hey, we don't.
I'm inside the Washington Generals over here.
We don't care about that. We came to see the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I don't care who he's going against. Like, hey, I want to see my guy hit him with the people's elbow, all of that, the atomic elbow drop. I get that. And I am excited that you're doing the good husband thing. Like, I understand that. Like, I'm with that. Like,
hey, the Rams put up a good fight, man.
They actually gave us a good game because everyone was talking about the blowout and all that.
So tight end's a player.
That makes a nice grab.
Yeah. So it was great. And but I'm sitting there like, hey, man, are they going to lose to Colorado State? I might have to stay up and figure out how prime he was first.
I'll tell you what. The network executives were gripping watching that, I can promise you.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he is ratings gold. And the longer they can ride that gravy train, the better for everybody. So they were, I bet you, they were a little bit nervous. And Colorado took their foot off the gas a little bit late. And that was enough. And Shooter did a nice job getting them down the field. But, hey, look, that's college football. We usually save college football for later in the week. But I had to find out top of the episode if you guys were in with me. Because I'm sitting there looking at the clock going, go to bed, you moron. What are you doing? You got to be up in like 4 or 5 hours. Why are you awake? In Nashville watching this game. I couldn't turn it off.
TV. Couldn't.
But we're all in the same boat there. All right, we're going to do our games here. We always take 8 games and try and dig into them. I'll start us off here, boys, with the first one, the one I was at. The Chargers dropped 0-2. They lose on the road against the Titans. It was a come-from-behind win for Tennessee. On their side of things, Ryan Tannehill did what he always does against the Chargers. He plays well against them. This is a big week for him. Coming off last week, you needed to see him show some signs of life. This is a team that kind of under the radar lost 8 games in a row. Lost their last 7 last year and then the opener this year. So he needed a performance, and he had one. He was 20 of 24, 246. He ran one in on an option, which was a pretty slick play, and then had a touchdown pass. Derrick Henry, 80 yards, wasn't anything that, blew you away. I thought the Chargers did a pretty decent job against him. But this game came down to 2 things. Number one, it was explosive plays. Those were the touchdown drives for the Titans. The Chargers defense, I think, had 5 sacks. They played well, got after it. Bosa had 2. But they gave up 2 home run balls. And their home run balls were, you're rushing 4, dropping 7, and they're in 7-man protection, running 2-man routes, 3 if you want to count the back leaking out late. Like, you can't give up home run balls in that situation. So you gave up big plays. That was the number one reason. And then the number two reason was you have dumb penalties. You had 2 personal fouls on 3rd downs where you're off the field that results in a scoring drive. So, Buck, I'll go to you on this one. It just feels like when you're playing one possession games, and so many of these games are one possession games, I feel like it's these details. It's last week if you're the Chargers and you have Jasir Taylor on Tyreek Hill on the biggest 3rd down late in the game with no help, and you lose. And this week on 2 of the biggest downs late in the game, you have DeAndre Hopkins, their best wide receiver, on Aloy Gilman, your safety, with 12 yards of cushion and no help. And that's where the ball goes. Like, you can't, like, those are details. And in a league where there's so many one possession games, I feel like, man, that's what it comes down to. It's those details. And hats off to Vrabel and the Titans. They got a win.
They did get a win. And so one thing, Mike Vrabel and the Titans is underdogs. 23 wins when they've been the underdog going into a game. Like, he does a great job of making every game a close one, even when he's overmatched. Does a great job of kind of finding a way to kind of win the little margins that tilts the game in his team's favor. But as you talk about with the Chargers, and you talk about the league really being a one-score league, because most of the games are decided by 8 points or fewer. And it's about turnovers, it's about penalties, pre-snap, and foolish penalties, and big plays allowed. And DJ, you talked about the trifecta. If you turn it over, you give up the big plays, and if you have dumb penalties, unsportsmanlike penalties and those things, you're going to lose games. And what the Titans do, because Vrabel comes from that Patriots way thing, like, they kind of wait for you to implode. And if you give it to them, they'll take it because they're always in range. And the thing that's troubling, if you're the Chargers right now, like, you're looking up in the division already. Like, you're looking up at the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs, because they came down to Jacksonville and do what they do, they continue to win. Is are you ever going to close the gap on them by being more buttoned up than they are? Because I can't say that the Chiefs are the most buttoned-up team, but when they have a quarterback like that, he can help them skip steps. The Chargers have to be more dialed in and buttoned up to win those games, and they can't give away a game that everyone would say that they're supposed to beat the Titans. You can't give those games away because it costs you down the stretch.
Yeah, I would just give some credit to Ryan Tannehill, as you kind of did there at the top, Deej. I mean, this is a guy who was, you know, kind of left for dead last week, you know, with the multi-interception game down in New Orleans.
I was sitting there thinking, if this goes bad, we might see somebody else in the second half of this game. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that you're wrong there, but I think, look, credit to Mike Vrabel, credit to that offensive staff for getting Ryan Tannehill in some positions, you know, where he felt comfortable. 2024, you know, against anybody is pretty dang good, you know, to be that efficient with the football. And then, you know, you've got Derrick Henry to eat some clock too. And then, you know, it was only the one carry, but it ends up going for the touchdown, run a little triple option. Like,
it was a sweet play.
I love having that in your bag, you know, especially with an athlete like Tannehill. He's got the wheels, use them. And so I just thought that it was nice to see a team, you know, back up their quarterback that's kind of gone through some trials and tribulations here the last eight games now and comes back out and sees the fruits of the labor. So credit to the Titans, certainly. And I think the Chargers got to be a lot better in third down, too. My goodness, you got to find a way to extend some drives there.
Yeah, no, it was not great. That was a big key to the game. They didn't finish drives down the red zone, and they weren't great on third down. Buck, why don't you jump in? Tell us about your ball game you had with the Jags. A tough one against the Chiefs.
Yeah, tough one against the Chiefs. But here's what I'll say about the Kansas City Chiefs. As long as they have their big three, they're always going to be in the title hunt. Their big three is Pat Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Travis Kelce. And in watching this game, man, the Chiefs did not bring their A game. This was a team that was kind of sputtering on offense for most of the day. The Jaguars got three turnovers, had a +2 advantage in the takeaway thing, but yet the Chiefs found a way at the end of the half to go ahead. And the reason why is because the Jaguars could not get it going because Chris Jones was unblockable. And what Steve Spagnuolo did, because DJ, let me tell you, one, you have the better job right now in terms of you're in the booth, I'm on the field. It was 100.
I can't imagine how hot it was.
It was 122 degrees. Oh,
hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on, Bucky. Because did you see Baldy down there? Did you happen to see Baldy?
I didn't.
Can you guys?
Oh, is he soaked?
Look at the sweat.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. He's soaked through.
Oh, hey.
That's strong.
Hey, Baldy, you were getting after it down there on the field. I appreciate it. You were down there in the heat.
Oh,
but man. I feel your pain, Buck.
So I had to find a tent. In the middle of the second quarter, it's so hot. I was like, man, where's the tent at? I need to just kind of cool out for a minute. So to think about how hot it was for me, and I'm thinking about Chris Jones, who hadn't been in training camp, hadn't practiced. I'm like, there's no way this dude's going to log these snaps and be a dominant player. Oh, no. Chris Jones showed up. And what they did, Steve Spagnuolo said, hey, guy, it's dealer's choice. You get to line up wherever you want to line up, over any lineman you want to line up, and have your turn. So Walker Little, you get a turn, and Antoine Harrison, and you get a turn. Oh, Brandon Scherff, you're struggling a little bit. You get a little bit of this. And within the first drive, he had a sack. He had pressures. He was all over the place. And what he did is he opened it up for George Karlaftis to get it going. And so their defense played well. Now, Travis Kelce on offense, he couldn't move around. He was limited. But what he did is he gave Pat Mahomes his security blanket. So at the end of the first half, they can't get it going. Pat Mahomes takes him down the field because Jaguars gamble. He goes and scores, and you're like, uh-oh. They get the ball coming back. That drive, Travis Kelce has two catches. Bang, bang. Last one is a touchdown. On what they always do, you get down in the red zone. Pat Mahomes kind of runs around. Travis Kelce's like, oh, post up. Boom, touchdown. Toss it into the stands. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, man, because they've won so many games, their experience and expertise is going to allow them to steal games, kind of like that vintage old team that's older than everybody. They just know how to win. As long as they have those three guys, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be a viable contender because their supporting cast is fine, but those guys know how to make the plays that need to be made in those critical moments.
You know what I was looking at, you know, and looking at this game because I was doing Game Day Live while this game was on. And so we would, you know, check in periodically, show some highlights from this game. And the one thing that I didn't realize in showing these highlights and talking about Patrick Mahomes spreading the football out like I have never seen before. 9 different receivers with multiple receptions, right? Nobody over 4 catches. And then another couple of, and then it ends up, you know, finding completions to 2 additional receivers. So he completes passes to 11 different receivers. Meanwhile, you know, and I guess, you know, it can be a bit of a positive too for the Jaguars. Christian Kirk was the dude, right, in the pass game today, yesterday for the Jags. Calvin Ridley, you know, just 2 catches, but Kirk ends up with 11. So, you know, it was a little bit more concentrated on that side, which is good because, you know, if Calvin's not there, you can find Kirk. But man, just the amount of different ways that Patrick Mahomes can find completions, again, even if it's not Kelsey, I think is just dangerous depending on how a defense wants to play them on any given week.
I'm going to transition this to your game, Rhett, with this one to put a bow on that that Chiefs win.
Are you Louisville?
We talked so... Oh. No, we're not going to go there. To me, the AFC, it's, I don't know if we're going to see a 14-2, 13-3 team this year. It is so loaded, and it is they're going to just beat each other up all year long. I mean, and we'll get to it with your next game, because here we are with the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of teams, or a lot of folks, had them, you know, kind of as a Super Bowl, trendy Super Bowl pick here with what they've done over the last few years, and here they're sitting at 0-2.
0-2, Deej. And you know, I think there was a lot of talk about Joe Burrow last week, right? And, you know, worst game of his career, career low passer rating, passing yards, completion percentage, you know, whatever you... And look, it wasn't a pretty game, obviously. This game was much better for Burrow. And I think it kind of gets lost in the fact that they lost here. But he made some big throws in this game. Some tight window throws, some sideline throws. He was threading the needle. He had a beautiful back of the end zone throw to the pylon that went right through Tyler Boyd's hands. Now they end up scoring on the very next play to T. Higgins. But man, I mean, like, Burrow looked fine, and they actually protected him very well in this game. He was sacked once, but only hit three times. He's only pressured eight times, you know, depending on where you look for that. You know, I think what it comes down to here in this game for the Bengals was their defense. They couldn't get off the field. You want to talk about, they allowed the Ravens to go 9-for-14 on third down. The Ravens had drives of 13, 12, 12, and 10 plays and scored on all of them. Bengals ran just 6 plays in the first quarter. It was a very limited possession game. And so when you weren't scoring on offense, you found yourself, you know, in a 14-0 hole. And then, you know, you are 10-0 hole, and you get the punt return touchdown, which kind of saves your bacon there early from Charlie Jones. But overall, I'm not concerned about Joe Burrow in the pass game. I'd like to see a little bit more in the run game. I thought they protected him very well. I think defensively is where they're going to need to see some improvement here. They allowed the Ravens to really kind of run it up on them in the ground game too in this one.
Yeah, what's interesting about the Bengals, the 0-2 start, Joe Burrow having the recurring calf injury, I'm beginning to get a little concerned about that. Did he rush back? Is that going to be an issue that continues to kind of hamper them? But, you know, a lot of people didn't talk about it, but when they flipped out their secondary this offseason, they lost both of their safeties, Jesse Bates and Von Bell. Yep. I mean, say what you want about Eli Apple. Eli Apple was a starter. So 3/4 of your starting secondary is all gone. You're bringing in young players, trying to fit them in. They're trying to get the communication and stuff right. And so there are a lot of different things that are working. But this is about to be the way of the world for the Cincinnati Bengals, because when Joe Burrow gets the money that he has, you're going to have to live with some of these groin pains from your young players. Zach Taylor didn't seem too concerned after the game. We started this last year. But the difference last year and this year, I believe the AFC is more competitive this year than it's ever been. And falling behind 2 games makes it really, really hard when we think about getting to the tournament, even though we're only in week 2.
Yeah. The other thing is, on the Ravens side of things, I don't think they've got it all figured out just yet. But this is what they've always done. Even when they're trying to change and morph and grow and evolve, they win games. Mm-hmm. Like that's that old thing. I mean, it sounds cliche. Winners win. Like the Ravens have won there for 20 plus years.
They know how to win.
They get in these games. They don't lose them. They don't lose them. And the good thing is, if you're a Ravens fan, they're going to get healthier and they're going to get more comfortable in this offense. And you're going to see it, you know, continue to grow as we go forward. So again, Ravens off to a pretty good start here. A big win for them over the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll jump into the Cowboys continue to just dominate. They did it for the second week in a row. We'll jump on that right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, Green Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
All right, guys, Cowboys, they 40-0 week one over the Giants. Okay, I got my attention. And then you come back, you've got the Jets. Man, I would love to have seen, you know, what Aaron Rodgers going in there, the hype around that game. You had Romo and Nance, it was all built up. And then, of course, Rodgers is gone. So you're going to see, let's see what Zach Wilson looks like. Is this the new Zach Wilson 2.0? What's this Jets offense look like? And the Cowboys defense came out there, completely dominated the football game. Dominated them up front. Micah Parsons just making plays all over the place, using him as a looper. They can do so many different things with him. They couldn't block him. There was, you know, some interesting things on that side of the ball for the Jets. They didn't run the ball. Breece Hall was tweeting about it after the game, and they get four carries, so they just didn't. They didn't attempt to run the ball. And when they do run the ball, Buck, they should be a right-handed run team. That's your power side. Like they have a power side that
Vera Tucker and Becton, right?
And Vera Tucker. That's where you want to run. They're not running. They're running the other side, which I do not understand. They go empty, and to me, it's, I don't know. I'll get you on this, Buck, because some of the stuff I want to hit on this game, but I'll get it over to you. But the I feel like there's teams that run offenses and there's teams that run plays.
They run plays,
and you kind of like the empty stuff. Like you got to be immersed in the empty stuff if you're going to do it. And on the broadcast, they were hammering Zach Wilson like, hey, it's empty. You can't double hitch. I think Romo even said, you double hitch, you're going to get sacked. Mm-hmm. And he did. So I'm like, I'm watching it. And mind you, Zach had turnovers were terrible. He did not mm-hmm. play good. I'm not excusing his performance, mm-hmm. but I'll say this. On that play, you've got, oh gosh, the tight end. Why am I drawing a blank here? Uzama. They're empty. He's in the slot. So he's running an out route, Buck. He gets the top of his route and he's trying to give shoulders. I'm like, dude, this is empty. The ball's got to go. You are speed cutting everything. So Zach Wilson's waiting on him to finish his freaking dance moves at the top of his route and he gets sacked. But I mean, that's why you can't just pick up a play. We're going to do this a little bit of that. Like you have to major in something. Like that's got to be who you are and what you do, because that's a teaching point. That's like lesson 101 when you're running empty stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. My frustration with the Jets, DJ, we talked about it. We talked about like the blueprint, and they should basically just steal what the 49ers have done early with Brock Purdy, run the football till the cows come home, heavy formations, do stuff to just commit to it. And so wrote about it on Friday, talked about it, wrote about it. Hey, this is what the Jets can do. Hey, it's not all is not lost. And then I'm like, you tune in and you're like, all right, here we go. We're going to see the Jets get after. They're going to run the ball. And you're like, why are we throwing so many passes? Like to me, I said, the magic number should be 38. They needed about 38 rushing attempts. You know, when you hear Shanahan talk, some games he say, "Hey, this is a 40 rush attempt game." You're like, "My God, like that's all the game." But to me, that's what they needed. They needed to play. Let's see if we can get the game into the fourth quarter and make it a 15 minute game. And they decided that they wanted to throw it. And you're right, Zach Wilson's turnovers were terrible. But some of that, I'm saying,
all the fourth quarter.
I'm saying that's not even use an error. I'm just like give your young quarterback a chance. And you're right. Mm-hmm. This is on solid. This is on Nathaniel Hackett. If you're going to play, because you saw how they played against Buffalo, complimentary football. We're going to run it. We're going to play defense. And every now and then, we'll give Zach an opportunity to push it down the field. But that wasn't the game plan that we saw against the Cowboys.
Is this a situation at all, you guys think, where we're still not yet evolved out of the Hackett and Rodgers offense to enough of what Zach can do well with Nathaniel? Mm-hmm. Like, we have not morphed the offense back, you know, away from the things that Aaron was really good at and that he and Nathaniel were really comfortable together game planning for and getting out there in a game, and just haven't gotten to that point yet where it's going to be, all right, Nathaniel's got to sit down with Zach, and we haven't gotten enough of that yet. I mean, like, do we give it more time? Is it going to look better with time?
I'm curious about that might be the best defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And coming off a week where you played pretty good against a really good defense in Buffalo that just stymied the Raiders. So, and look, it doesn't get easier. Their schedule's brutal. Mm-hmm. So, but I will say let's let it evolve a little bit. But if we finish the game the next week and you look down and Breece Hall's got four carries and Dalvin Cook's got four carries. Oh yeah, by the way, Dalvin Cook fumbled and gave up a short field. That's not, that formula ain't going to work. But like, even like one of the interceptions late on the go ball, like it's a hole shot and Zach has a hose. Like that has to be a flat, firm ball. The safety is coming back from the backside. Yeah. Like you can fit that in. He's got the arm to fit it in and he just lofts it, puts a bunch of air underneath it. Like that's not, every throw requires a different trajectory and velocity. It was the wrong choice from that standpoint, but he made some nice throws. Yeah. He did some decent things there. He just can't be, like, he's not the lead actor. If he's the lead actor in the play is going to suck. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to be playing in a supporting actor role, or that's not going to work.
The one thing that I know, I just saw this tweet. They said after the game, the teammates, five offensive teammates surrounded Zach Wilson and encouraged him. And they talked about he's not the same guy. And so the coaches have to take that and make sure that they give him an opportunity to be successful. And it has to be run game first, Zach Wilson second.
So on the other side of this thing, Buck, the Cowboys offense, Dak played great. They had seven explosives. I believe they were all, six of the seven were CeeDee Lamb. So I'm like, okay, who's CeeDee Lamb cooking here? What's he got going on? And it was double move against DJ Reed for a win.
Yeah.
It was a seam against zone. It was an out against zone. It was a whole shot against zone. Like, and I'm sitting here going like, man, from the Cowboys side of things, hats off to you. You executed. Dak played great. From the Jets side of things, like, you got a Ferrari and Sauce Gardner. You might as well take it out of the garage. Like, he's four guys like CeeDee Lamb. Like, let him out. Let him go out there and go nose to nose. They don't want to play like that.
It's so weird because, like, that's not how Saleh gets down. Like, they are a hybrid zone team. And you have that Ferrari, as you talk about, a Sauce Gardner. Like, everyone is looking for that corner. Because in that game, hey, Sauce.
Yeah.
This is your chance to really solidify your reputation as a dude. You got him wherever he goes, and we'll work around it. Some people are not comfortable living in that world because it makes the other 10 guys have to adjust. But of all the times, you got to play man-to-man. You got to make him earn his yards when you got a superior athlete like that. And well, so
let me go back to you on that real quick, and then Rhett, jump in on the back of this. The NFL, to me, guys, it's a matchup league.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Yep. It's a matchup league. And to me, I can understand you lose. Hey, good on good. You got me. You win. But I feel like I'm seeing it through 2 weeks now, and I've seen it in a lot of these games, and this is another example of it. Like, you get back on the bus knowing that you let their best player beat up on either a zone where you weren't dialed in on him or you didn't have your best guy on him. I just don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
I mean, I don't get it. Go home, go swinging, man. But don't let him beat you with the best pitch.
Don't let the best guy beat you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in looking at this, you know, from the Cowboys' offensive perspective, you know, obviously, you know, hat tip and what we saw on the defensive side. My goodness, but I think the early returns on what we've seen from Mike McCarthy calling plays is pretty dang solid. I think you've gotten, you know, the very best out of Dak Prescott. You know, very efficient Dak. You're talking about 31 completions only going for 255 yards. May not have seen that in years past, but you'll take that because it's a goose egg by the interception column. And then on the other side, look, Tony Pollard, you know, that is a tough front and right in a really good second level. That front seven for the Jets is as good as anybody in the league. And they kept pounding it, right? 25 carries for Tony Pollard and didn't get, you know, didn't shy away, even though they were only, you know, they were sub 3 yards a carry for much of the game. So, I think that commitment to the run game is showing some dividends, and this, you know, kind of new way of going about attacking defenses from a play calling perspective for Dallas is showing some really positive early returns. We'll obviously keep an eye on it down the stretch here.
That's a good note on Mike McCarthy, because I don't think people really understand how good of a play call he was. A lot of it was attributed to Aaron Rodgers. But one of the things he talked about in the offseason is making sure the running game has to be a factor to make the game easy for the quarterback. And so the commitment to the running game, you see, is not just to pound and control the clock. It's to unlock some of the big plays that we're seeing from Dak Prescott and to make the game easy for the quarterback. And so I get that. And maybe sometimes it's the experience of a longtime guy that can do it.
All right, what's the next one here? What we got?
Okay, got the Niners and the Rams. The Niners come down to LA, taking over whose house and just doing what they've always done with Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. Like, this is, I mean, we talk about big brother, little brother, knowing each other and doing those things. But there's something about Kyle Shanahan. He just understands how to play against the Rams. And Raheem Morris, one of his best friends. But the Niners offense, man. Christian McCaffrey going over 100 yards. Brock Purdy looking like a casino dealer, just making play after play and play. The swag that he has and all this other stuff. Look, man, I'm going to tell you, for a guy to be the seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, I don't know if I've ever seen a more perfect fit with this dude in this offense with this play caller. It is amazing to me to see Brock Purdy really elevate this offense the way that he has. And then when you hear the stories about Trent Williams and those guys saying, they knew way back. They knew way back in camp that, not this camp, but last year that, hey, man, this dude has some stuff to him. I don't know, man. I think it's the mystery that every scout has to solve, because if you can find a quarterback like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, we need to figure out what the secret sauce is, because I'm trying to figure out what the secret sauce is to know that Brock Purdy is the guy, because you see it each and every week for the Niners.
You know, I was just kind of going back and I was driving home listening to some of this game. And, you know, I think from the 49ers perspective, you just kind of take a peek at some of the production. You're like, all right, Purdy throws for 200 yards. You know, McCaffrey runs for $116. Obviously, that's a 100-yard game. You know, you average about 6 yards a pop. But, I mean, it was not like an overly, you know, McCaffrey did have the long, you know, 51-yard run, which was impressive. But it was not like an overly, you know, crazy offensive output. Still, they throw up 30 points. I mean, they started almost every single one of their drives started at or around the minus 25 yard line. And they still, you know, kind of methodically seven play drive, five play, six play, seven, you know, 11, like they don't go three and out a bunch. You know, they find ways to stay on the field and just put points on the board. And it's like a cumulative thing with the Niners. And speaking of cumulative, how about my guy Puka? 20 targets in this game with 15 catches. Are you kidding? I am ashamed that I shied away from him in this matchup against the 49ers. Yeah,
you didn't pick him. You're scared. Like, you don't get rewarded.
I was scared.
You don't get rewarded. Yeah, you found him, then you let him go.
Yeah, we'll have the updates on that. I don't even know who won. I can't even remember who I picked, but we'll find out tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
But on the Puka thing, because I was going to put a bow on this and then get it back to Rhett on this next game.
Yeah.
Bucky and I have talked for years about the wideouts, and we've used the phrase that's the polished route runners. It's the craftsman. Mm-hmm. It is held so true, where I almost feel like if you go back through every draft and we just say, okay, these were the purest route runners.
Best route runners.
Because I'm going back, you look at like CeeDee Lamb, who goes off today. Like, you know, there was so many wideouts in that draft. I think we had him as the top. I think we both had him as the top.
Yeah, he was up there.
In that draft, way up there. And, because the route running, it plays, man. Like, that's, and especially the more two high safety stuff we're seeing all over the league, you got to be able to uncover underneath. So you better be efficient. You better be able to get in and out of breaks. And you don't, and it's like they all have the same, they almost all have the same kind of formula. They're all mid 4-5 guys. They've all got play strength and they can all separate. Like Buck, I feel like this is just another example.
It's a run after catch stuff. And DJ, but you remember we did that study years ago and we found that the number ones were, I think the average 40 time was 4.54. And so I will say this as someone, as a receiver, I could never stop. Like I was fast going, but I could never stop, take 15 steps to stop on a comeback.
You're like Luis Mendoza in Mighty Ducks.
But DJ, there's something to those guys because the guys that are not as fast, they have more control so they can stop and start and get in and out of their breaks. Whereas a lot of times it is rare to find a guy who is fast, going up the field, can put his foot in the ground and then go.
That's why Tyreek Hill is
an anomaly.
Planet.
He's a different dude. Like you don't see many guys that can do that. But you're right. As we continue to look and kind of study the wide receivers that are popping, it's 4.5s, route runners.
And you know who my comp was on him, by the way, when I went back and looked through my notes? Hushmanzada, who I think had been training him, but that was my comp for him as a route runner. Because remember, Hush was not fast coming out, but he could separate, catch everything.
I timed him. Remember at the old Oregon State facility?
Yeah.
Upstairs, they were running the cafeteria on carpet.
Yes, yes.
And they would run into the wall and you had to catch him.
Yes.
I timed him up there and it was, I think it was 4.59. Because I like him. I think I might have pencil whipped it instead of 4.61. But he played with Chad Johnson. He got Chad Johnson lined up. And when you did the scouting, because it's funny, Jonathan Smith was the quarterback. Chad Johnson was the receiver. TJ was on the other side. TJ did all the dirty work. He was a guy that did all the dirty work, the possession receiver and those things. And look, man, my guy from Rams is doing it. He is falling.
No question.
What's going to happen when Cooper Kupp comes back? What happens? Where's the ball going to go?
And they're going to have two receivers with 20 targets apiece and 10 catches each. It's going to play with
Red's trying to figure out how do they play with three slot receivers? Like, how do we do this?
You know,
but don't worry. Skoranek will get his targets too. Don't you worry.
There you go. There you go. What do you got next, Red?
All right. Let's move to a really fun game in Detroit. And obviously more fun if you were a Seahawks fan.
Full disclosure, I did not see one play of this game. So this is like hearing a story for the first time. So I don't know what happened.
Okay. Well, let's tell it, shall we? Because it was a lot of fun. And we kept coming back to this thing on Game Day Live. It just every couple of minutes, it felt like there was a big highlight happening. There was a score happening. Again, it was a 37-31 game in overtime. And I thought the quarterbacks in this game were fantastic. Geno and Jared Goff were absolutely dueling and dealing, okay? I mean, these guys, if I go back, I think the opening drive for Seattle was a 12-play, 70-yard touchdown. They had a big play to DK Metcalf. They get down to the goal line, and Kenneth Walker ends up punching it in. The run game for either team in this game were minimal. Both of these quarterbacks were well over 60% completion in this game, up near 70, 72 in this game. I mean, Goff was 28 of 35. Geno was 32 of 41. I mean, the way that they were spreading the football around and just making big plays, chunk plays, 18, 12 yards, 20 yards, 16 here and there. I mean, it was a tough day if you're a defensive coordinator. I don't think either team got a ton of pressure on the opposing quarterback. In fact, I was looking at that. It was kind of one of the reasons I was like, God, how Geno's just kind of sitting back there and carving these guys up. You know, Aiden Hutchinson was the only guy that was really providing any type of pressure. They got nothing from the interior players like Aleem McNeil and Levi Onwuzurike for the Lions up front. So I want to be better up there in the interior, kind of trying to collapse that pocket a little bit. But I thought both of the quarterbacks were really good. The one mistake, though, and it was kind of hard to diagnose on the tape, but as you went back and watched the interception from Goff, that was a pick six from Trey Brown. Kind of running like a chase concept. It had a driver. We had Josh Reynolds on a drive route, and then they were running the chase from the back, right? Jahmyr Gibbs on a little Texas route to kind of follow and get into that gap. And it almost looked like Goff was expecting Gibbs to sit down, but with the concept, it just didn't seem right because the ball was about 3 or 4 yards behind him. And then you look back, you see Chenna Nwosu is absolutely folding up the right tackle and coming through there. Provides some real pressure. And so throws it right to Trey Brown, who takes it to the house. And that ends up being the difference in the game. Now, he responded well. Goff did, came back, led a couple of more scoring drives. All I got to say is both these teams, really fun to watch on offense.
The pass games were fantastic. I think they can run the ball when they really want to, but I came away really encouraged by both of those quarterbacks, who both of which last season entered with real question marks, right, about whether they were the guy for their teams.
No, it's good to see both of those quarterbacks. Much maligned, but both guys have responded really well in their new environments. You talk about Jared Goff playing to the point where, look, Detroit's going to have to kind of write a big check to keep him around, because he's playing at that level where it doesn't make sense for them to say, oh, we're going to move on from him and go and get one in the draft. Geno Smith also for the Seattle Seahawks, the way that he's been able to kind of drive that offense, and we expected this offense to be explosive and dynamic with the pieces that they have, and they're continuing to do so. It's funny because we talk about how tight it is in the AFC. I think we'll begin to see some separation in the NFC with the quarterback play. And we could talk about Jared Goff and Geno Smith being at the top of the charts when it comes to the NFC, because that's going to be the deciding factor in the NFC, the quarterback play.
And, you know, just to wrap this up, because we did get the season or the NFL debut from a top 10 pick in the cornerback, Devin Witherspoon, out of Illinois for the Seahawks, played basically the entire game for the Seahawks. So I went back and watched all of his snaps too. I thought he was excellent in run support. Man, his mentality, his aggressiveness, I think you saw that at Illinois a bunch. Part of the reason why we loved him, right? He's just kind of, he's a missile all over the place. And you know, he's got the speed to cover ground. Saw it on a PBU he forced on a Sam Laporta crossing route. Problem is, he's so willing in the run game, he really got sucked up on the flea flicker that Jared Goff ended up throwing to Khalif Raymond. But he wasn't the only one. Quandre Diggs took some heat on that one too. But I think they're going to love Witherspoon and Woolen and Trey Brown in there as a third corner too in Seattle for many years to come.
All right, I'll keep us moving, but I do just want to point out right now, week two of the season, that I'm predicting this Seahawks-Lions will be like a Saturday morning playoff wildcard game. That just feels it just feels like that's your like Cheerios playoff game. You know,
that is fun.
It'll be a fun one. All right, Falcons in a big win over the Packers. Sorry, Nabil, 25-24. Dug into this tape this morning. I wanted to see Ritter. Ritter was 19 to 32 for 237. Had a touchdown, a pick. The pick, he just gets drilled by Kenny Clark. Absolutely smoked in the backfield. But man, could have had two other picks, like two other throws. One hit Quay Walker right in the chest that he dropped. So it was a little bit spotty from him. But they got Drake London going, which was nice to see. Got him involved. I'm just watching this going like, man, this is a big win. And Bijan, I'll get to Bijan in a second. But this was my thought watching this. We've heard so much scuttlebutt about, man, if you're the Jets, you trade for Kirk Cousins, like your team's ready to win right now. I'm looking at a pretty good offensive line in Atlanta, and I'm looking at one of the better sets of skill positions led by, I think, Bijan Robinson. I can't tell you one running back I take over him, and I know McCaffrey and what he is. I'm just saying, with what I saw with my eyes in that game, he looked like a young LaDainian Tomlinson. I will take Bijan right now. So I'm sitting here going like, shoot, maybe the Falcons need to trade for Kirk Cousins. I mean, I'm not trying to bury Desmond Ridder here. He's okay. Yeah. But that's a massive upgrade. And this team, this division's infinitely winnable right now. And they are a quarterback away. So that was my takeaway on the Falcons side of things. On the other side, Quay Walker, who I mentioned, 17 tackles. He was flying all over the field. Their defense played, you know, they flew around, played well. Obviously, you don't end up getting the win that you want there. Jordan Love was fine. You know, the numbers look good. He just didn't put up a bunch of yards. To me, that was my takeaway. I just came away going like, golly, you throw a quarterback on Atlanta, like they're ready to roll.
Yeah. And also, just to button up the Jordan Love part, Bucky, no Christian Watson, no David Bakhtiari, no Aaron Jones for the Packers. You're talking about three kind of, you know, budding superstar players, at least in Watson's case. They're going to get better. This Packers team's going to be better.
They're absolutely going to be better. Now, they have to get improved on defending the run. But let's just talk about the Falcons and the running game, because everyone deadpanned the pick when they took Bijan. What are they doing? They just got Tyler Ezra. Why would they take a running back? Why would they be committed to this much to the running back position? And DJ, the comparison was LaDainian Tomlinson when Bijan Robinson was coming out. You just don't turn down a LaDainian Tomlinson type when you have an opportunity to do it. And Arthur Smith talks about last year, they could run the ball on anybody. Well, now you add a better player to a team that can run the football. The fact that they were down in the fourth quarter, still committed to running the ball, lets you know exactly how they feel in a league where guys are getting smaller on defense. The running game is a huge advantage. And Arthur Smith has to look to the West and see what the Niners are doing and say that if we can run the football, it's going to give us a chance to get in the tournament. And then if we get a quarterback, the right quarterback, it's going to give us a chance to win a bunch of games and make it maybe advance far.
Remember last week, Buck, I said, hey, they got this new driver, and it's like a teenage driver, and they just kind of drove around the neighborhood. They let Bijan get on the freeway a little bit in this one. They gave him some touches. They let him get, hey, we're going to go a couple exits down. We'll get you off the freeway. But you got to open it up. He found fifth gear in this one, Rhett. They opened it up a little bit.
No doubt. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, his cutting ability, like.
Oh, it's stupid.
I don't think we see that anywhere else. That frequently, at least. I mean, the amount of moves he can make in this framework of one play is just so much fun to watch. So, yeah, I did have Bijan, in case anybody was wondering, for tomorrow's show.
Okay. Oh, there you go. All right, Buck, get us to, is this our final one here? We got the Dolphins, yeah. Patriots. This is the last one. What do you got?
Okay, so the Patriots and Dolphins, to me, it's really fascinating and interesting because everyone wanted to know, what was Bill Belichick going to do with Tyreek Hill? After watching Tyreek Hill go absolutely bananas against the Chargers, how is he going to throw the blanket over him? And for the most part, they did a pretty solid job of keeping him on the wraps, didn't let him get loose. He only had 40 yards. It continues the theme where when he plays the Patriots, he's really a non-factor. The thing that finally impressed me about the Dolphins, they ran the football. Like, this is the Dolphins that I thought we were going to see at the beginning in terms of running the football, Mike McDaniel being the run game guru, getting to it. They got to it, and it really affected them because that's the way they were able to kind of win the game. But what I like about the Dolphins this year, they can put you on the freeway, and they can throw it all over the yard with Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Tua, look, I don't know how he gets the ball out so fast. He sees the blitz. It's like, hot potato. Stupid. It is out. Not really taking any shots. And so you have the ability to kind of put the stress on opponents with the speed of your wide receiver core, but you have the physicality and the toughness of the running game. If they can put this together consistently, they are a hard team to defend. Very.
Buck, did you ever play the game, that little device called Bop It? Did you ever, like, with your kids or whatever?
I don't know what that
is. So you know what this thing was? There was a game called Bop It. So it's like this stick thing, and it has a buzzer on it. And then so one of the handles, you twist it so that it has the audio. It goes ding, ding, twist it. So you have to twist it. Then it goes Bop It. Then you have to hit the thing. Pull it. So then you like pull the other one. And then it starts going faster and faster. And you got to listen to it and react real quick or the buzzer and you lose. I'm like, I bet Tua is an animal at that game. As a kid, he was a bam, 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 bam. Like, his processing and how quick he's getting the ball is stupid. And a lot of times with that, you sacrifice big plays, Rhett. Like, they're still getting chunk plays with him getting the ball out like that.
I mean, the ball comes out.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he and Mike McDaniel are definitely rolling right now. I mean, you want to talk about a dude that's 5-0 against Bill Belichick? Come on.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Come on. That does not. Now, look, I know it's not a quarterback versus a head coach, but I think you can draw some context from that, right? Yeah, I agree with you on that for sure. And you know what? I was kind of just looking at it, and you know, as we're kind of assessing the shape in which this Patriots offense is going to take moving forward, I mean, 58 dropbacks in week one for Mac Jones, 47 in week two.
That ain't it.
I don't know, man. I think we shouldn't really be surprised thinking about the way that Bill O'Brien ran this Patriots offense when he was the OC before Josh McDaniels came back. They're throwing it all over the place. You know, they don't have Randy Moss on this team. You know, the high end targets to me don't necessarily match up with the way in which they're playing at this point. Maybe it will eventually, but at this point, I don't know. I'd love to see a little more Ramondre Stevenson. I think he can be a force, but I don't know. That's just one thing that jumped out to me on the way the Patriots are operating at this point, DJ.
Yeah, no, it's I was going to say it would have been mean if you'd have said it, but I thought you were getting ready to drop the they got Kate Moss out there. They don't have Randy Moss out there. You could have gone Randy Moss, Randy Moss, who's worked at NFL media, does horse racing. Or Todd Mossberg, one of our producers.
Oh, but, Mossy. Mossy. Shout out.
Yeah.
Mossy. Yeah, Mossy. Mossy. Shout out. Up for Mossy. Yes.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. The games we didn't touch. This is going to be literally less than 30 seconds. We'll just go around the horn and I'll pick one. Then I'll give Bucky, you do the second one. Rhett, the third one. We'll just go down the list here. So Bears, Bucks to me. Mike Evans, huge day. Watched all his explosives. Baker Mayfield's throwing with anticipation. The ball is out. We talk about Tua doing that. Baker did that. And then also Baker extending plays. So get the ball out on time with anticipation to win. And then every now and then extend, create. It got a broken play. Got Mike Williams on a big one there. So that was kind of the thing that got people excited about Baker Mayfield you saw in this game, and Mike Williams was the beneficiary. All right, Colts, Texans. Yeah. Sorry, Mike Evans. There you go.
Yep.
Colts, Texans.
Like, go ahead, Buck.
Yeah, go ahead.
Colts, Texans. No, I mean, look, I think this always comes down to Anthony Richardson. The first two scores, you see him run around and do all the things that we talk about. But for the second week in a row, he's been out the game. And so if Anthony Richardson is going to be this wonderkin that does all this stuff on the ground, he has to find a way to protect himself. And I see a talented runner, but I see a runner that lacks a little awareness when it comes to, hey, man, I'm about to get hit. I need to get down or whatever. I don't think he's the most natural runner, despite the tremendous physical gifts that he possesses.
Yeah. Quickly for me, Raiders-Bills was one that I was watching quite a bit. Raiders run down and score a touchdown on the opening drive. And you're like, all right, this Raiders team beat the Broncos week one. They're rocking and rolling here on the road for a second straight week. And then the Bills come back and score like 38 unanswered points. and we got good Josh Allen yesterday. Real good Josh Allen. 31 completions, 274 yards, zero turnovers. When he has zero turnovers, the Bills win football games. Also got a 100-yard day from James Cook. So the Bills found a formula on offense, Deej.
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah, nice to see Josh Allen bounce back. Giants, Cardinals. I'll be honest with you. Every now and then on my picks, I'm not ashamed to admit that I farm them out to my son and his roommates at his Baylor apartment. And this week when they sent them back to me and they had the Cardinals beating the Giants, I thought, well, I'm getting ready to be a laughingstock around the sports world that I was the only one who picked that game / my son and his four roommates. But man, I'm getting on the bus of the Chargers. I'm like, yeah, it's a tough loss for the Chargers, but I'm going to look like the smartest guy in the world. The Cardinals are beating the brakes off the Giants right now. Holy crud.
Beating the brakes off of them.
And then Daniel Jones just put on a clinic with Daboll.
Yeah,
they came back and won the game. So it's a big performance for them not saying the Heat, they were a playoff team last year, but man, as bad as they looked against the Cowboys, now you're going to go lose to the Cardinals. They bounced back and it was a big win for them. So that was my almost victory lap that I got to take there. It didn't happen.
Commanders and Broncos was the same for me. I'm sitting there, I look up and man, the Broncos are just absolutely waxing the Commanders. And then all of a sudden it all flips. It all flips around. Eric Bieniemy, this offense finds a way. Sam Howell gets hot. They kind of get it going. And they end up winning a win in spite of a Hail Mary being surrendered and having to defend a 2-point play. Big win. The Commanders are 2-0. And I don't know if any of us saw that coming.
Yeah. If I could just double down on that one real quick. You know, it was a tough weekend, you know, here in the Kleinschmidt Lewis Whitworth household. You know, wife's Colorado State Rams fall in overtime to see you. And then the Broncos, you know, they get the Hail Mary. They did the hard part at the very end. No. All they needed was the 2-point conversion. So good news is, though, you guys should check it out. By the way, shameless plug here for the wife's big show. The Big Story, ABC News Live. Yes, she's hosting here. At 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern time on ABC News Live. Check out the most talented member of this household.
I saw that.
Way to go, Canna. That's what I'm talking about. Way to go, Canna. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. So, Buck, tough one. Jags lose, Chargers lose, the two teams we work with. But hey, our college teams won, something Rhett doesn't know anything about. Big wins for
those guys. And then, hey, I saw App State, East Carolina.
East Carolina. Just playing the Pirates didn't want any.
Just playing everybody in state? Is that what the schedule is now?
We're just trying to win a state championship, bud. That's all.
What's Greensboro doing?
Come on up the hill.
All right. Yeah.
Exactly. Again, appreciate everybody. We've got some new reviews and 5-star ratings. We appreciate those as we continue to grow this thing. Coming up on 1,000. We're going to have 1,000, I think. Is it later this week or next week? It's coming up.
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon. Next week, Nabil just said. So episode number 1,000. I'm sure we've got something really, really special planned there. Maybe we'll try and see if we can coax the Hoosiers into winning a game for Rhett. Make him feel better. I don't know. We'll see.
We got it.
All right, we'll see. All right, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.